When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer Jim Calhoun, NASCAR.
Welcome in, everybody, to a bonus episode of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Torres. It is, how about this, Saturday, February 10th, 2024. People. And we're doing this bonus episode for one very simple reason. Obviously, Monday, we usually recap college hoops, and I think we will still do that on Monday. But with the Super Bowl on Sunday, all anybody's going to want to do is react to the game on Sunday. And I felt like I had to get out a quick reaction to Gonzaga versus Kentucky. Gonzaga goes to Kentucky. They win by 4. It is the first time in the history of Rupp Arena that Kentucky has lost 3 straight games. And I have not been a fire John Calipari guy, but I don't know how you can continually excuse all of these poor performances from his team. So what I want to do, we'll do a quick, short 15-20 minute reaction to Kentucky Gonzaga, what it means for Gonzaga, because it was actually a very big game, but also what the heck is going on with Kentucky? Is it fixable? And has this John Calipari thing just run its course? We'll get a normal Monday show. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll probably talk some of the college football with Chip Kelly and some of the other stuff that has happened. And we will talk college hoops because I'm probably have some expanded thoughts on this Kentucky Gonzaga game, Baylor, Kansas, et cetera, et cetera. But just felt like, hey, let's get the reaction while it's hot, while everybody's talking about it. We'll talk Gonzaga, Kentucky. Probably my guess would be one of the highest rated college hoops games of the season. Wasn't much else on. 2 huge brands. Only game of consequence really in that time slot. Take a quick break. Want to get a word from our sponsors. We'll come back. We'll break down Gonzaga, Kentucky. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, was that frustrating. And again, to reiterate, normal Aaron Torres pod on Monday. We'll talk the Super Bowl. Probably talk more about this game because I'm recording here before John Calipari or Mark Few has even given their press conferences. Quick break. Word from our partners. Be right back. And we'll talk some Kentucky, Gonzaga. All right, everybody, I am back. Going to be back. I do want to go ahead and get to just a game of the day in college hoops, Kentucky hosting Gonzaga. We talked about it on Friday's show, mega showdown, big stakes for both teams. Kentucky desperately needs to get back on track, lost their last 2 games at Rupp Arena prior to smoking a bad Vanderbilt team earlier in the week. And of course, Gonzaga right now really does not have or did not have coming into Saturday a signature win on their resume to even make them a real at-large candidate for the NCAA tournament. Bring it up. 2 teams tipped it off at Rupp Arena Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern, and in what turned out to be a historic result, Gonzaga beats Kentucky 89-85. For the first time ever, Kentucky has lost 3 straight games at Rupp Arena. Kentucky fans are furious. Gonzaga fans are through the roof excited. And I just want to do some quick reaction. We don't have a ton of notes. This is going to be like a 30-minute reaction. But what I would say, when I look at this game, we're going to talk about the impact for both. What this game ultimately came down to, I thought one guy coached his behind off in this game. And one guy had a disaster of a day, especially in the final minute. And you know what I'm talking about here. In terms of the guy who coached his butt off, I thought Mark Few, listen, what is coaching? What do we always talk about on this show? Whether it's Nick Saban deciding that Jalen Milroe is better with his arm, with his legs than with his arm and building an offense around that. We talked on Friday's show, Super Bowl pick. I picked KC because Andy Reid is relying on his defense. Well, what did Mark Few do on Saturday at Rupp Arena? He realized that Kentucky had a bunch of skinny, small, young, freshman big guys, and he could just pound the paint and exploit them time after time after time. Kentucky was without Trey Mitchell, their leading rebounder, fifth or sixth year senior, and credit Mark Few. Sometimes you don't have to overthink the room. What did Gonzaga do? They just kept pounding the paint. It's so funny. We came into this game talking about this is the worst Gonzaga three-point shooting team of the Mark Few era. It didn't matter. You know, Gonzaga shot 22% from three in this game, 4 for 22 in this game, and it didn't matter. You know why? Because they're four big guys. I just want to make sure I have these stats correct. They're four big guys, Braden Huff, Anton Watson, Ben Gregg, and also Graham Ike. Finished with 66 of Gonzaga's 89 points. Gonzaga finishes shooting 47% from the field. They out-rebound Kentucky by 12, and I think this is the crucial stat, 18 offensive rebounds for the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And so you don't have to overthink it. You don't have to, we don't have to overanalyze it. The bottom line is Mark Few realized early and often, just go to my bigs, and especially forget early and often. Late. It felt like the last probably 10, 12 minutes of that game. Every single possession, they were simply dumping the ball down low, and it was either an automatic two or an automatic foul. Gonzaga does what they need to do. They get the win, whatever. We'll talk about what it means for Gonzaga momentarily, but listen, we can't not talk about what just happened at the last play of the game. Listen, I wanted to go live after this game, kind of capture some of the audience. I needed a minute to figure out, and please excuse the language. I'm sorry, but it's just, it drives me crazy. What the expletive, what the expletive was John Calipari doing on the final play of the game? For people who didn't watch it, and I know you all did, Reed Sheppard, the star freshman from the state of Kentucky, was the best player on the floor this game. Had 21 points all in the second half. Made a bunch of free throws. Had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And in the final, essentially the final play of the game, the one that mattered, down 2. What do? Reed Sheppard, they haven't been able to stop him the entire second half. What do? They run him off a pick, and he throws a lob. He throws a lob. What are we doing? Listen, I know we can all get hyperbolic in moments like this. That was among the worst, dumbest things I've ever seen. And it just comes down to, what are we even doing? What did I just say about Mark Few? Credit to him, coaching, X's and O's, figured out a weakness and exploited it time after time after time after time after time. Gonzaga does that. Kentucky, the exact opposite. They got a guy that the other team can't stop. They can't keep him out of the lane. And he's throwing a lob pass into the paint when Gonzaga is playing essentially not 3 7-footers, but Ben Gregg 6'11", Graham Ike 6'9", Anton Watson 6'9". What are we doing, Kentucky? So credit Gonzaga. They get the win they desperately need. And for Kentucky, it's just, what is there even to say? As for the first time ever, I just said it, 3 straight losses at Rupp Arena. Big picture. Listen, let me start by saying this. Credit to Gonzaga. Grown man team. Now, listen, I'll say this. I think Gonzaga, I've been critical of them, but I think they are one of the, whatever it would be. How many at-large teams are there? There's 34 automatic bids, something like that. 31, 32. I think they're one of the 34, 35 best teams. But I also understand that there has to be metrics that we use to determine who is good and who is bad. And Gonzaga right now, going into Saturday, did not have that signature win. We talked about it on Friday. Best wins. UCLA, which is maybe starting to get a little bit better, but they're not good. Syracuse is not good. USC is not good. And so they lose to St. Mary's at home last week. And essentially, this was basically their season. If they lost this game, Gonzaga was essentially playing the rest of the season to get to the conference tournament and win the automatic bid. In theory, maybe if they swept the rest of the year, if they lost this game, maybe they could get an at-large if they lost in the conference championship game, but it doesn't matter now. Guess what? Gonzaga is got their signature win, and if they can avoid bad losses, they're going to be okay. But at the same time, that's only part of it. Congrats to Gonzaga. I think you're off the bubble for now. Don't take any bad losses, and you should be fine. But man, this isn't really about Gonzaga. This is about Kentucky. Just such a disappointing afternoon in what is quickly becoming,
Is it fair to say the most disappointing season in the John Calipari era? I think that it is. Because when I look at this season, here's the thing. There's been other bad years, but 3 years ago in the COVID year, 2021, that was disappointing. But I don't really know that anybody at any point really thought that team was that good. That was the BJ Boston, the late Terrence Clark. I hate to bring up his name, but he was a part of that team. And you could tell early, like, they probably just didn't have it. Last year, they were missing pieces. I've always said it was built, whatever. Last year was disappointing. But this year, for them to start the season as they did, as good as they were, and now you are sitting at, let me make sure that I have the numbers correct. I believe you are 16-7 with this roster. And by the way, I know the SEC is good. I get that. But to be 16-7 this year after the way you started, you beat one of the best teams in college basketball in North Carolina on a neutral court. You're 16-7 with three home losses in a year where nobody in college basketball is losing at home. What are we even doing? And so this is so disappointing because the talent is there. In other years, you could argue, you could fight, you could debate. Well, we're just not good enough. We don't have this guy or this or that. And I do understand that for whatever reason, this year, this team just has not been able to stay healthy. You get one guy back, another guy's out. One guy back, another guy's out. The big guys were hurt early. They're back. Big Z, is he going to be eligible? He is. Adu Thierro was hurt, and then he's not. Now he's playing. He was actually probably the second best player on the floor besides Reed Shepard. DJ Wagner, mysterious injury. Now he's back. Now Trey Mitchell's out. And I will also say, this was kind of the game you needed Trey Mitchell. Trey Mitchell is your leading rebounder. He's a veteran. He's going to throw elbows. He's going to be tough. He's at least going to have some resistance down low. And so for Cal and for Kentucky, listen, man, I said a year ago, I said I was never going to do the fire coach Cal rant or bit again. But at the same time, what else am I supposed to say? I try to defend the guy. You're getting paid $8, $9, $10 million a year to be 16-7 with the number one recruiting class in the country, with realistically probably six guys that are going to get drafted this year. Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, first round picks. DJ Wagner, that's three. Aaron Bradshaw's four. Big Z's five. Justin Edwards is six. They're all going to get drafted. And you're 16-7 right now. Unacceptable, and especially with the way this game ended tonight. And so I'm not going to do the fire coach Cal rant. He's not going to leave unless he wants to leave, but it's just, I'm not even a Kentucky fan, but it's so frustrating to watch. And it's like, what are we even doing? I'm just trying to, I think this is what I would say, because I'm ranting and I'm rambling and I'm not making sense. And I've said this before. The thing in sports that annoys me the most, I don't really care who wins and who loses. But I want interesting, I want entertaining, but most importantly, you know what I really want? I want to see the best against the best and the best reach their highest levels of potential. This is why I was so mad when the Cowboys got smoked by the Packers. Because I'm like, the Cowboys are too good to get smoked like they just got smoked. That's on the coaching staff. Figure it out. The Bills, how many times do we have to run it back before we acknowledge this isn't working? We're wasting Josh Allen's prime. And now you look at Kentucky. You're wasting what is almost certainly the only year of Reed Shepard, definitely the only year of Rob Dillingham. Justin Edwards hasn't figured it out. I don't know what the heck's going on with DJ Wagner. It is just, it's unbelievable. And so if you're Kentucky, listen, one thing I will say, I mean, it'd be nice to see this team at full strength, but even at full strength, it's like you got to settle on a rotation. Now I'm definitely rambling, by the way. But even at the team at full strength, they played 10 guys without Trey Mitchell in the first half. Settle on seven or eight, bench a few guys. There's a couple guys that just shouldn't be playing. And to quote John Calipari, let's freaking ball. It's so frustrating. It is so annoying. And I'm not a Kentucky fan, but I want to see this team reach their potential. And I think the bigger concern is that this is the second, third year in a row, really the second out of three anyway, where you're really good in November and December and you completely flatline in January and February, when you used to be, this used to be Calipari time. Might not have it figured out in November and December, but wait till January, wait till February. We're going to rock. We're going to roll. We're going to get going. And that is just not the case right now. You go back 2 years ago, by the way, remember, late January, early February, they destroyed Kansas at Kansas. I don't know how anybody wins at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Kentucky won by like 20. And then from there, it was just never the same. It never got better. Last year, they never reached their potential. Well, it's Oscar Tshiebwe's fault. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. Well, what's the excuse in 2024, man? I get it. Injuries, problems, this, that. But at some point, we have to acknowledge, like, this thing's headed in the wrong direction in a hurry. So I will say, you know, the defensive stuff is bad. I do think part of it falls on just not having your full complement of big guys. I think Trey Mitchell was the guy you needed today. But man, that last play call is so, so, so frustrating. All right, I think that's it for this bonus episode of the Aaron Torres Pod. Again, normal show on Monday. We'll come back. We'll react to the Super Bowl, some of the college football stuff, Chip Kelly, etc. And again, we'll probably have more on this after I've had a chance to sleep on it. But it just felt like we absolutely had to talk about this game and what is next for Kentucky and Gonzaga as well. Normal show Monday, normal week ahead. Appreciate everybody's support. If you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you could do me a favor, rate and review the show. Go ahead, give us a quick 5 stars. Make sure you're following on social media at @Aaron_Torres on Twitter, at @AaronTorresPod on Instagram, AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com, AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. Have a feeling we'll be talking about this one again on Monday, but I appreciate you tuning in for a bonus Saturday episode. We'll be back on Monday. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of their week.